Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're pleased to welcome Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press, who's inside the bubble and went to both the Celtics Heat game as well as this game 7 between the Nuggets and the Clippers. And Tim, we're glad to have you. Let's start with the Clippers. Here they are, one of their best opportunities ever to make this first Western Conference Finals bust through that glass ceiling. And I don't understand what we saw. How do you interpret the way the Clippers just shrunk back and disappeared?
Well, that's just it. And you realize that, yes, there's a certain, like, they were all talking post-game about, you know, we need more time together, we need chemistry. Well, if you can't manufacture chemistry, and yes, I know they had some guys coming in and out of the bubble, of course, but if you can't manufacture the chemistry you need when you're largely all together at Walt Disney World for 75 days or whatever it was, there might be something, there might be a bigger issue there than meets the eye. I mean, you know, I remember the night I was in Vegas at Summer League. I remember the night 14 months ago now when it all happened, when they got Kawhi, when they got Paul. And in that moment, they were crowned the offseason champions. Like, they were going to be the team. They were going to be it. They were going to be the team to watch this season. For Paul George to come out tonight and say, you know, internally, we never looked at this season as championship or bust. Huh. I don't know if that comment's going to be one that he regrets or not, because this should have been championship or bust. And as we saw tonight, it was bust.
You generally expect that stars like this, especially when they want to play together, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, they kind of they teamed up, and this was supposed to be a tandem to steer the Clippers forward, especially Kawhi. But maybe they don't bring out the best in each other like they thought they would, because we've seen flashes where those two guys are completely locked in and the superstars we know they can be, but not very often.
Yeah. Here's the thing that people have to remember though, Amy, it's hard. I'm not making excuses. I will never make an excuse for guys. It's not what we should be doing. It's hard in here. It just is. And everyone has their days. I mean, LeBron said this a couple weeks ago, and trust me, I can attest to it. Everyone has their days in here when it's just like, I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm going home. I have several of those moments a day myself in here. I just wonder if there was a point when the Clippers were like, this is not fun anymore. This is a game, and it's got to be fun, and you have to love it. I didn't see the Clippers playing with any joy in game 5, game 6, game 7. Frankly, I didn't see a lot of joy from them in the Dallas series. I saw a lot of aggression. I saw them going at Luka a few times. I didn't see them enjoying it in the first round. I didn't see them enjoying it at all in the second round. And even the way they went out tonight, there was no urgency in the fourth quarter. They were going through the motions. And that game was still in the balance. They were only down 8 going into the fourth quarter. Right. They were playing for their season, and they had nothing left. They had no spark, no fire whatsoever. I just wonder if they just mentally broke in here somewhere along the way.
32 points in the second quarter and then 33 points the entire second half, as the Nuggets once again had these surges, and Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, they're just so much fun to watch. They work so well together. They've got a bunch of other role players. Gary Harris coming back. So they're the complete opposite. They have thrived in this bubble. Why? What do you see from them?
Because they came into this year eager. They came in this year excited to prove people wrong. I think it's harder to prove people right. It's harder to play with that pressure of, oh my gosh, it's got to be us versus the Lakers. And that's probably what the Clippers were thinking. Denver has embraced this. Nobody loves us. What about us? Everybody disrespects us. Michael Malone has played that card so perfectly in here, Amy. I mean, they were number two or number three in the West pretty much the whole year. They're a great young core. We all have written this. We all know this. We all talk about it. And Michael Malone has convinced his team, God bless him, he's convinced his team that nobody in the world thinks you're any good. And they're buying it. And it's worked for them. I mean, teams don't win six elimination games in a decade sometimes. They've done it in 3 weeks in here. I mean, what they did against Utah, it was no fluke. I mean, down 15 in the third quarter of elimination game, you don't come back from that. The way they've done it, Jamal Murray has proven that he's worth that contract that he's got. Nikola Jokic is such an underrated superstar. I mean, the list of guys with 40 points in game seven, Jamie, I think it's only like 15 or 16 deep. Jamal Murray joined a pretty cool club tonight and he made it seem really easy doing it too.
Mm. How much has he raised his profile inside the NBA in terms of being one of the upper echelon elite players?
Yeah, I think he went from, oh my gosh, why did they give him that contract, to, oh, I totally see it now. Yeah, I get that. Oh, good job, Nuggets. Good work. Yes, yes, you definitely see something there. He's raised his bar has obviously gone up. Jokic's bar was always absurdly low. I mean, because he's not flashy. He admits it. He's slow. He does these crazy one-legged jumpers that look hideous. He shoots off the wrong foot half the time. He does so many things, quote unquote, wrong. He just does them better than everybody else. They're a fun team, and they're young, and they've got draft picks, and all of a sudden, I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen in this Lakers series. I think the whole world will pick the Lakers, which is exactly what Michael Malone wants.
Yes,
all to
he loves that.
But they are set up to be a team that's going to be a problem in the West, not just next year, but for a few years after that, too.
I love the history that they have, too, where it's a microcosm in this one game. Down 12, up as many as 20, and they thrive in those situations where they're just the third team in U.S. major pro sports history to come back from 3-1 deficits twice in the same playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Tim Reynolds of the AP is joining us from the bubble in Miami. Before we leave the series and talk Eastern Conference Finals, what do you think is the future when it comes to Clippers leadership, Doc Rivers?
I mean, I hope you keep him. You never root for change. And I think Doc will probably go through he's at the point in his life where he can say, do I still want to do this? Do I still have to do this? I imagine he does. I think if you ask him tonight, you might not get a good answer, but I think he still wants to coach. I think he's still one of the great coaches. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of bad numbers out there, Amy. You know, there's been 13 of these 3-1 deficits that have been lost in NBA history, and he's been the coach of three of them. But to be fair, you know, one of them was as an 8 seed, you know, when Detroit figured it out and got Orlando in 2003, I think it was. Like, you can make the numbers look real bad for Doc. Yes, he's lost 8 game sevens. Well, he's also won 6 game sevens.
Right.
And he has a piece of jewelry on his hand, too. I still think he's an elite coach. I think if the Clippers made big changes, it would be a panic move. I don't see Steve Ballmer doing it, but I'm very often wrong on this stuff too, I might add.
Of course, his championship ring coming from his time coaching the Boston Celtics, who now find themselves in the East Finals against the Miami Heat. And this matchup is so much fun. It's so athletic. There's so many playmakers. Both teams are really balanced. And the first game goes into overtime. So you had a chance to watch that game there in the bubble. When you think about some of the major moments down the stretch, which ones will you remember?
I mean, you start with the block. I mean, you start with Bam Adebayo having the courage to not be afraid to get on a poster, because 9 times out of 10, Jason Tatum finishes that dunk. You start with that, but you know, I am convinced that this series is going to go at least 15 games, probably longer. I have no idea how they're going to decide a winner in this thing. The Lakers and the Nuggets are going to be rooting for that thing to go very deep, because
right.
I don't know how either team's going to have anything left after that series. You've got brilliant coaches. You've got great coaches in Brad Stevens and Eric Spoelstra. You've got this unbelievable young core. You know, the Heat have Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. Bam, obviously, I think Bam is one of the next very big things in this league. We all know who, you know, the Celtics with Tatum and what. I mean, there's so much good. Kemba Walker getting to this round for the first time. Jimmy Butler getting this round for the first time. They're the same teams, Amy. They're the same teams. And they're so tough. They're so smart. I don't think, I mean, I would imagine along the way, Miami might get an easy one. Boston might get an easy one. But I think virtually every game in this series is going to look an awful lot like that game tonight.
A lot of questions about Kemba Walker and the way he played. He, of course, hit that big shot in overtime, the pull-up jumper. And yet, depending on whatever network you're watching or listening to, there are a lot of questions about his play. What has he had to say? What has Brad Stevens had to say about Kemba to this point?
Kemba just nods and smiles and says, I got to play better. But, Amy, I've thought this since they got to the bubble. And you know, he did miss some games very early on, if we can think back 17 years ago to when this ordeal started in the bubble. You know, he missed some of the seeding games. I just watch him, Amy, and, you know, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I don't think he's totally right. I don't think he's totally right physically. I think he's a little bit concerned about the knee. I just wonder if he's just missing a gear. And if a guy is 90%, they know it. And it affects their confidence. It affects their rhythm. I also think, too, that Nick Nurse got in his head a little bit in the last series because they neutralized him pretty good with a box and one. And, you know, the Heat will play zone. I don't think they'll slap box and one on anybody. But I wonder if Kemba's going through just a little bit of a crisis of confidence right now. And it could be a combination of the box and one from the last series. It could be that he knows his knee isn't perfect. It could be a little of both. I just don't think Kemba is super Kemba that, you know, that we're all used to seeing. I think there's just something off there. He's not going to give it up what it is, and neither is Brad Stevens.
It's amazing the way that these two teams have been built, first by Danny Ainge and the metamorphosis that the Celtics have gone through. But then you think about what Pat Riley has done with the Heat and the way that he's brought in guys who are not only tough and gritty in the case of Andre Iguodala, excuse me, and Jay Crowder, but they've got guys like Jimmy Butler now who just bring that intensity and that edge. And, man, the difference in the Heat from a year ago is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, people, again, because it is such an absurd year and because, you know, last season for the Heat ended 17 months ago, people forget Dwayne Wade played for that team last year. I mean, the D-Wade retirement tour stuff, the last dance, that was last season. It just seemed a lot longer ago. They ended last season. The best player in franchise history, you know, is done. He's retired. You have no cap space. You're kind of stuck in the middle where teams in the NBA rarely escape from without totally tanking or getting really, really lucky. And then they managed to pull off the sign and trade with Philly. Jimmy Butler, everybody knew Jimmy Butler was coming to Miami. Jimmy Butler was, he didn't want to listen to anybody else. Jimmy Butler decided this culture is for me. Jimmy Butler, Amy, a quick story. The last home game of Dwayne Wade's career was against the Philadelphia 76ers. It was against Jimmy Butler and the Philadelphia 76ers. When he saw the show of love that Dwayne got that night, he knew he'd never get that exactly from the Miami fans. But that was the thing that really, really sold him on, this is what I want to be part of. This is what I want. I want to be part of this. So you get Jimmy Butler, Andy Ellisberg and Pat Riley pull off an unbelievable trade in February. They get rid of a bunch of guys who really weren't fits anymore for them. They get cap space, and they get Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder out of the deal, two starters. It's been a brilliant – every move they've pulled off since the retirement of Dwayne Wade has been brilliant. And keep in mind, they are still looking for the big guy, whoever that is. Pat Riley wants another big three type deal like they had a decade ago, and they might have the money next year to pull it off. They are trending in the right way a lot faster, I think, than a lot of people thought.
Not to mention getting to an East final, maybe an NBA final, certainly does a lot to attract free agents. Although I got to tell you, the most brilliant move by Jimmy Butler is running his coffee scam inside the bubble where he's making coffee and lattes available to his fellow players. That's pretty impressive.
At $20 a pop, though, Amy. Although this is a no state income tax state, so you know he's brilliant to do it here.
Tim Reynolds of the AP with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So you mentioned a couple of times how the bubble wears on people. You've been in there. This is actually your second stint. You've had a chance to watch a lot of games, cover a lot of the storylines, but from inside this mini campus, this college campus, How much has the atmosphere changed, do you think, in terms of the players, the games, as the time wears on?
Well, I think there's a balance. There's a yin and yang to it. The longer you're here, obviously, the more tired you are. And not everybody brought their families. A lot of people did, and that's great. Not everybody did. A lot of coaches who finally got the chance to have chosen not to, because they figure at this point it'd be hard for kids and schools going on in a lot of places, and it would just be really tough to sort of upset the apple cart. So you've got all of these dynamics going. You're away from home. You're not seeing your kids. You're not seeing your wives. It gets hard for everybody. And now most of these guys, they're in day 70, 75, 80 of away from home. But you're now two rounds away from winning the NBA championship. We're down to four teams now. You're in the conference finals. Miami is a game up. Miami's, three wins away from the NBA finals. The Lakers, Celtics, and Nuggets are now all four games from it. You can feel it. And I think that's going to be that little jolt of invigoration that these teams need. I think you're going to see some happier faces now when people realize how close they are, that there's a month left, that there's only a month left. There's only four teams still here. The hotel is kind of all to yourself again. Instead of seeing so many people every day, now you're only seeing a couple teams every now and then, and you're so much closer to hoisting Larry O'Brien. I think it's going to be the most meaningful championship ever won in this league. I think you're going to see guys shake off the fatigue and kind of get their second wind, quite literally. I think when they realize how close they are to winning this, yes, it's been a grind. Yes, everybody wants to go home, but I think these four teams that are left, they're all going to have the same MO, which is, hey, we've been here this long. We're this close. We might as well win this darn thing.
Yeah, exactly. Why give up now when we can see the light at the end of the tunnel? That hope, it's a very powerful human motivator, I should say, regardless of the situation. All right, you can find Tim on Twitter at by Tim Reynolds, who's covering the NBA from inside the bubble for the Associated Press. Always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, thanks so much for having me. Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.